Hey, what's up? It's Ben Greenfield, and you're about to listen to a rather unconventional, slightly explicit, but very fun podcast that I recorded right here in my studio in Spokane, Washington, with four highly entertaining fellas who flew up from San Jose to join me for the second time for what promises, actually doesn't promise, it is. I've listened to it already. I was there. It's a pretty epic podcast.
I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Lila Q. .com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
At the most, I'll put some good old-fashioned butter, MCT oil, or coconut oil in my coffee and go with that. If I eat early in the day, I find myself getting sleepier. So really, my go-to meal in the morning is nothing.
Never in my life had I ate that much fat in a day. Like, my whole career as a trainer, like, we demonize fat. I mean, that's what we were taught. When we first started training, like, you would tell clients, like, stay away from the fat.
I'm totally into mace ball swings. I'm totally into Indian club swinging. Lots of rotational work there that I can apply with, you know, get some good tension there.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Mobility, balance, whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Should I explain what we're doing? Are we recording right now?
I'm recording audio and
okay.
Video.
All right, so I've got Adam over here to my left. Adam, how are your legs feeling?
You know what, dude? They feel pretty fantastic. I can't bend them.
So Adam is decked out in Normatec gradated compression boots. He's very, very sore from his long, what'd you do yesterday, a scooter session?
He did walking lunges in aerobics class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did a lot of Zumba.
A lot of jazzercise.
Yeah. So his legs are pretty sore, and he's standing in the norm. I've never actually stood in those. I usually lay in them. How's it feel to stand in them?
Well, it would be a little more comfortable probably to lay down, but I'm not going to lie, standing up's not bad either.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, the air fills up underneath my feet, so I feel like I'm walking on, like, down pillows.
You just have to make sure you don't have your dick caught in either the left or the right side, or that gradated compression right can get a little bit uncomfortable up towards your hips.
I think
he puts it down his leg pants, so I don't know if he might be in a bad...
Right. It's like occlusion therapy for your genitals. Oh, and then we've got Sal over here. Now, Sal has a probe up his nose, possibly elsewhere, but right now the one we can see is in his nose.
Yeah, we're not filming the other one.
And he's got laser lights up on his head. He's wearing a neuro. That's photobiomodulation for your head that causes nitric oxide to get released in neural tissue. and activates mitochondria in neural tissue.
Is that why I'm having weird thoughts, or is that just not, that's not actually normal?
No, it's
that's
mostly just why you didn't get Alzheimer's in the past 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there you go. They actually did develop that for Alzheimer's patients. So, yeah. See, you didn't get Alzheimer's. It works. And then Justin is wearing the Retimer greenish blue light producing glasses. He's also got the human charger in-ear phototherapy device going on. So basically, A, he's not going to sleep at all tonight.
Oh, man. I'm so alert.
And he's it's like he's bathing in natural sunshine.
Yeah.
And then I've got a electrostimulation pouring into my shoulder. Electrostimulation goodness pouring into my shoulder. And I have gifts for you guys.
Oh.
I come bearing gifts.
Thank you.
So you guys get to decide who gets what, but I've got a bottle of organic Pinot Noir.
That's going to be...
This is microfiltration, old world wine with no sulfites, no additives, completely organic.
Beautiful.
That's all I drink unless I'm drinking tequila, vodka, rum, whiskey, beer, or other wine. That's all I drink.
Okay, yes.
I have a bag of extremely fine Mexican sea salt.
Oh,
this stuff is bomb.
Wow.
It has over 80 different minerals in it, which is frankly just a bunch of marketing bullshit. Just about all salt has 80 different minerals in it. But what I like about it's clumpy. I like put that on top of my smoothies, and it's like salt that you can chew.
And this might be worth a lot more money coming up here now with the wall and everything. You never know. It might not be able to get this.
It makes anything taste good. So when we go out to dinner tonight, if the food is shitty, you just bring... And I actually travel with a bag of that my bag. And I'll bring it out to a restaurant, like you know, a Whole Foods salad bar, right?
Excellent.
It'll just make any salad.
Excellent. Amazing.
I have a bar of extremely, extremely fine, from New York, custom made for me, peanut butter, dark cacao, raw chocolate from Fruition Chocolate in New York. I interviewed a guy named Kevin Rose on my podcast.
I'll take that
a few weeks ago.
Smash that.
You got... Now, if you really like dark chocolate, my kids don't like it because it's like bitter cacao. Like we're talking nootropic level cacao where you can feel the nitric oxide and it's just like eating beets. Extremely good stuff though. That is some of the finest chocolate you can get from New York. And then since we're going to go play laser tag tonight in the biggest laser tag castle in North America, I figured each of you could use a little microdose of shrooms.
Yes.
That's 0.4 grams of fine psilocybin extract. I've got one for Doug, too. I'll put yours over there. And if you pop that about an hour before we hit the laser tag castle, I can't guarantee you'll win laser tag, but you'll have a lot of fun.
Well, I feel like I really want... I don't know what your thoughts were on this when we go, but I kind of want us to be on a team and like Joe f*** some little kids up.
Well, that's the thing is we can take my kids and just basically f*** up my kids and run around and shoot
them. No, they can be on our team.
The only reason I bring my children to play Laser Quest is to boost my score. tell them I love them and stand in front of me. Guard me.
They do make good shields. They do make good shields.
We're going to be on a quote team, unquote, and we play. So
excellent.
So, yeah.
Thank you for optimizing us.
We're all boozed, salted, chocolated up.
Yeah.
All biohacked.
Let's get this sucker fired up.
Booyah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Boom. You know, that was quite the task to get everything. Do you think we should have called the Geek Squad from Best Buy?
I don't know, because Doug's pretty geeky.
They have a pretty cool car.
Do
so they?
They
must be good at fixing shit.
I guess so.
You can probably get... no, you're good, Doug.
VW Bugs?
I think it's like a Toyota Scion.
Is it?
Yeah.
It used to be the Bug, like when they redid those.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It's like, ooh, cool.
I tell you what, your hospitality, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Every time we come here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really, yeah. Very, very nice.
You even got to try some emulsified MCT oil.
I poured it in my face.
Which you asked a stupid question, you idiot.
I did.
You said you got to get out like the blender to blend the emulsified.
You idiot. Yeah.
That's redundant.
Come on,
though,
moron. Right?
Write it down.
You don't have to blend emulsified. No. Did you know that? Idiot.
Well, I poured it inside my mouth straight. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Emulsified.
I think I
pumpkin.
Did it the wrong way, too.
MCT oil.
Yeah.
No, so the question was, can you do it as an enema? And he thought that was a stupid question because,
exactly.
Of course, you can.
Yeah.
You know, both of our podcasts are occasionally sponsored by Chimera Coffee, and they may just burst through the walls and crucify us today because that wasn't Chimera.
Oh, it wasn't?
That was my mom's redneck blend from Idaho.
Yeah, that's why it sucked. Wow.
She orders. Actually, no, seriously.
I enjoyed it.
Growing up, my dad used to order coffee beans from all over the world. Costa Rica, Guatemala, Tanzania, all these different green coffee beans in big burlap sacks would show up to our house. And my dad would roast coffee beans using this like $30,000 old school classic, what's called the Dietrich coffee roaster from Sandpoint, Idaho.
Wow.
That was like what he did as a job, was just to roast coffee and sell it.
So so being abnormally into things is obviously genetic.
But yeah, it's passed down.
It's a little bit odd. Mm. Yeah, of course, he also eventually became a monk over in Vashon Island in Washington.
You lie.
So what? Next up for me is celibacy.
Are you kidding me?
You lie.
If I use that ball light over in the corner of this office for long enough,
you can't just graze
you can't keep
over.
Sitting on that seat.
You can't just say your dad's
your
a monk and graze over that. Is that true?
Yeah. He was a monk for a couple of years, and then he moved to India and started doing like water treatment and providing structured water for animals in agricultural facilities in India.
Are you f***ing with me right now?
And now he's importing minerals from China and making special like water filtration units that mineralize your water.
You literally just answered every question. Like, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, it does.
It makes complete sense now.
But before, the dots are all lining up.
But right before now. That, he was a paramedic. So there's that.
So what happened?
Relatively normal job. My dad is a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
Yeah.
He started a hard kind of
people.
Well, no, so my mom moved from Detroit out to Moscow, Idaho, because in Detroit she was involved heavy with drugs, sex, rock and roll, and basically got attacked by these, I'm sure she loves me sharing this kind of stuff on a public podcast. She got attacked, and there was an attempted rape by these four big black guys that broke into her office, and she like ran down the hallway and they were all chasing her with guns, and she hid under a bunch of boxes, and they eventually couldn't find her and left. And that was like the last straw for her. She's like, I'm moving to Idaho. So she moved out to Idaho where her sister was living. At the same time, my dad's brother got murdered as they were dealing crack cocaine to Cubans down in Miami. And he got murdered in a knife fight with the Cubans. So they moved, or he moved up to Idaho as well, and then met my mom. And so
when does this motion picture come out?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
I grew up in a full Miami / Detroit city slicker family out in the backwoods of
Idaho. If I didn't know you, I think you were making it up because it sounds so crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because I know you and I see
it, it all totally lines
it
up.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Right. That's where I came from. Yeah.
Wow.
Give me time. Background. When is how long ago?
I only know this because I did 23andMe. Tells you everything.
Wow, they get really descriptive.
it comes a little cartoon.
Is that how you do your commercials now?
Exactly.
That's what you do.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to feel it out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So just to set the context for those of you listening in, perhaps you heard of All the Gifts. That was kind of like you guys ever read Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah.
Like Aslan gives all the like Lucy and Edmund and everyone gifts of like dark chocolate and psilocybin.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was just like Chronicles of Narnia.
What is that one thing that the kid eats in there all the time? The something, the little gummy. Turkish Delight.
Turkish Delight.
You ever eat a Turkish Delight?
No.
It's the most delicious gummy candy of all time. It's the original gummy candy.
Mm-hmm. So there was
it's
something
so
to that, huh?
Yeah.
It's definitely a delight.
I've actually had Turkish Delight before in Israel. Had Turkish Delight. Yeah,
and it's like a
chewy, datey. I don't know if it's made with dates. I think it's made with dates.
It's like almost like a gummy candy, but it's naturalish.
Yeah,
and it's covered in powdered sugar.
And it's ketogenic.
Oh, very keto. It's keto.
It's got high levels of branched amino acids.
All you have to do is say that, and everyone's going to be rushing out to buy Turkish Delight.
What? I would like to. By the way,
I'm so glad you just said something.
By the way, there's an affiliate code.
That was keto wine that you gave me, right?
Emulsified Turkish Delight.
Okay, the goal today is to see how many sponsors that you could slide in while we're having the conversation. little commercials as we're going, and see how many you can do. We're talking about all this stuff.
Right. Exactly. You guys, this is your second time here, I think the fourth time that we've podcasted together.
Yeah.
And there's so many questions I wanted to ask you about you. And if you're listening in, you could go to I'll link to the other two episodes that I did with these guys. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/mindpump3, bengreenfieldfitness.com/mindpump3 is where you can get the show notes for this episode and also the previous episodes that I've done with these guys. You guys, you live down in San Jose, right? Which is where I've been to see your facilities. Cool gym.
Thanks, man. We had a great time with you there, man.
Yeah, you were like one of our first guests there. It was awesome.
And we've talked about so much on previous episodes. And so listen to those episodes if you're listening in. But I've got some other questions that I want to ask you guys, because I'm so curious where you're coming at with like meals and diets and supplements and workouts and all these little things that we haven't had a chance to talk about. So a little bit of rapid fire here to get going. I want to start with you, Adam, former IFBB bodybuilder pro.
By the way, the sound you hear in the background are his air pants.
He was just farting.
They're just is that over and over again, excessive
farting. You can hear it like,
yeah, it's very airy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very nut hugging.
He had lentils for breakfast.
I see.
Slow release. Those are ketogenic, by the way. they're slow carbs. Yeah. Slow carbs brought to you by Tim Ferriss.
Cricket protein.
So, slow carbs, lentils, there we go. Go-to meal. Like, what would be your go... Now, when I say your go-to meal, I'm not talking about, like, what you fantasize about when you're wasted, like pizza and french fries. But I'm talking about, like, for supporting the body and brain. Do you have, like, staples that you eat that you would say... Because I've got, like, my big-ass smoothie that I talk about, my big-ass lunchtime salad full of vegetables. Like, do you have that go-to meal?
I have a couple, like, go-to that I do. Like, like a morning Sunday or Saturday morning, I'll get up and I'll have 6 whole eggs. I'll get some organic cheese, a whole avocado, and then I'll have about 8 to 10 pieces of bacon. And that's kind of like my
holy cow.
That's my morning starter, first thing in the morning.
Now, is that like a once a week kind of like refeed on calories type of thing?
Actually, it's the opposite. It sounds like a refeed, right? But it's really not. What I do is I find on Saturday and Sunday, I don't move as much as I do during the week. And what I've found that, like, if I have too much carbs in the morning, it kicks up my appetite, and then I want to eat all day long. So actually having a big, heavy, high-fat, high-calorie meal like that that's not really high on carbohydrates early in the morning satiates me all day. So I'll actually only eat that meal, and then maybe like a small dinner, like a salad or something at the end of the night, because I'm not moving.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I want to ask our resident biochemistry expert, Sal, why is it that those carbs are like making him hungry?
Well, so it's really weird. If you eat a 2,000 calorie breakfast, you won't be hungry till much later. So it's kind of a weird science going.
It's not crazy. If you put 6,000 calories of butter into the blender in your coffee, it keeps you in a fasted state for a very long time.
No, I think, one of the things is Adam, for a long time, especially when he competed, he was a high carb eater. You know, he averaged anywhere between like 400 to 600 grams of carbohydrates a day.
In bodybuilding.
And he used to say he needed that to maintain fullness. He felt like his muscles would deflate if he didn't have that many carbohydrates. And when we started Mind Pump, we started talking a lot about different ways of eating. And I was a very big advocate of trying ketogenic style, diets. Mm-hmm. And Adam went and gave it a shot and tried it out. And I think what probably happened was he really improved his insulin sensitivity to where now, you know, the comments he'll say is he'll eat, 200 grams or 300 grams of carbohydrates. And that does the same thing that 600 grams of carbohydrates used to do. So I think if you probably have a high carb breakfast now, you probably get that insulin. You know, you're so sensitive to it now.
Yeah.
You get that insulin, you know, spike and then crash.
Which is fine during
the
week.
So the insulin is driving glucose into muscle tissue to be conserved as glycogen.
And then it's gone. And then you run out.
And then you're hypoglycemic.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
That's really interesting, though, with bodybuilding, because I used to restrict carbohydrates when I was a bodybuilder for almost like that carb loading effect. So, and the same idea could be said for like endurance sports. Mm-hmm. So when you restrict carbohydrates, what that does is it upregulates your glycogen synthase. So you can actually stock away more glycogen when you actually do eat carbs. So I would keep myself low carb until before the show.
The whole way or cycle?
As much as possible. And then I'd eat a bunch of carbs before the show so that I amped up my glycogen stores and the fullness of the muscle before the show. And they do the same thing now. They've done some studies with cyclists, for example, where you restrict carbohydrates as much as possible. And then leading up or in the days leading up to the event, that's when you load if you want to maximize your glycogen.
I actually did like every show I did something different. Like and I typically ran a cycle. So between 3 and 5 day cycles and I would mess around with how low I would go. So Sal says it was right. About 400 to 600 grams of carbs was like, would keep me around my caloric intake that would either be putting me in a slight deficit. 400 was a deficit. 600 was like maintenance for me, you know, give or take. And then I would cycle down. So I'd run like a day that would be, I'd go 400, then I'd go like 200, 150, and then I'd push below 100 one day, and then I'd go back and refeed again. Mm-hmm. But when I started to find like when I get below when I was so dependent on carbohydrates. This was before we got into ketogenic. I felt like if I had anything under about 100, I'd start to get headaches, and it was right. really, really rough for me. And so competing was, you know, kind of miserable those couple weeks leading into Showtime, which I'm sure you're familiar with. But once I got out of competing and we started kind of doing research on ketogenic, we had Dom DiAgostino on the show.
Yeah.
And Sal was the first one to get into it, and he was like, you got to do this, bro. You just got to see how you feel. And I'm like, why? I love carbs and the fact that I could eat 400 to 600 and maintain the physique that I want. But then I thought, you know what? That's totally opposite of what we talk about and what we preach on our show is like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through the process and I'm going to assess it and see how I feel. And I was blown away actually, because never in my life had I ate that much fat in a day. Like my whole career as a trainer, like we demonize fat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we were taught. I mean, when we first started training, like you would tell clients, like, stay away from the fat, you know?
Now, did you have to take a bunch of, because I find this happens with some of the people who like, you know, come to me for nutrition coaching or read a book on ketosis or something like that. And they have a bunch of stomach issues because they need to take bile extract and lipase and all these enzymes to help their bodies actually be able to digest the fat. Do you have to do that? Or did you have to do that when you switched to
meat? Yeah, you have a good tolerance to fat. Right. Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Like, you know, like for example, you mess around with like bulletproof coffee and stuff like that, right? With the whole butter MCT and everything.
Mostly up my butt.
Yeah. Well, when the first time I ever
I actually, by the way, I don't. You guys asked me this morning, where's the stuff you put in your coffee? And I was like, I don't know. I don't put.
Oh, I thought you did. Oh.
No, I actually only drink my coffee black.
Period. Oh, I didn't know that.
I like to eat my calories.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The point is when I would do this, I think the bulletproof coffee calls for like 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of the coconut oil. And it was just way too strong. It was like my stomach, I'd get upset and bubbly guts afterwards. When I cut that in half, I could handle it. And it took a while just to get fat adaptive. My body was, I for years didn't eat more than probably 100 grams of carbs.
Yeah.
And then when I first tried to switch to ketogenic, I thought going to 200 grams was like just, oh my God, this is double what I've ever had.
You mean of fat?
Yes.
Yeah.
200 grams of fat a day, which actually still was not enough. I was kind of caught in this limbo. My body was like, are you going to give me glucose? Or am I going to get ketone? What am I getting? You know? And I could feel that. And I actually didn't like it for like the first week or so. And I remember telling Sal, like, I don't know if I'm into this thing. I don't like how I feel. It doesn't feel right. And we looked at like how many grams. He's like, no, you got to push more fat. I'm like, more? And then I started working up to where I was getting like 400 grams of fat, which I just thought was,
yeah,
that's insane.
And you were still bodybuilding.
I wasn't competing at that time. I was still in competitive shape.
Right.
But when I'm sort of messing with ketogenic, I was actually out of the circuit. I was done competing.
Did you test your hormones or anything to see if they changed when you started doing stuff like 6 eggs for breakfast with avocado and bacon?
No, I do check my, blood cause I take testosterone. So I every like, you know, 6 months to a year, depending on what was going on, I'd go get my blood work, kind of see where
you
I'm
mean
at.
You do like testosterone injections?
Yes.
How much testosterone?
When I'm competing, the most I ever got, I got up to 500 milligrams, but I had to go back down because when I did my, it was my second or my third show, the judges were like, you're way too big. Mm. And I've been on TRT since I was.
What do you mean the judges said you're way too big? Was it like a natural?
No, yeah,
I'm men's physique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm men's physique. So I was starting to flirt with that bodybuilder look and they were like, you're too much. And so I actually had to pull off. So I, you know, pretty much most of all my pro career and competing, I was right around 250 milligrams a week is where I'm at. And then when I'm like off season, like right now, I'm anywhere between 50 to 125 milligrams.
You know, what's interesting too, is even at his highest dose of 500 milligrams of testosterone, that's actually considered a very low dose. In the professional world,
in like the sports performance and doping world, that's not considered to be a lot, right?
No, they would consider not someone like
now.
Like,
is that enough to give you like man boobs? Did you have to take? Because you hear about who was the fighter that just got DQ'd?
Yeah,
John
Jones. Yeah, John Jones.
Was it Clomid?
Or it could have been Clomid,
which is something you take. If I'm not mistaken, you take that after you've been on testosterone.
Clomid is a SERM, just like Nolvadex. They're both selective estrogen receptor.
I use Novadex. Novadex and HCG is what
HCG.
Just to reshoot it back up after I come off.
And that keeps your estrogen levels low? when you're taking testosterone?
No, HCG
is going to promote the testosterone, my natural testosterone production to come back up.
How do you keep when you're using testosterone from getting like man boobs, from getting a lot of that aromatized into estrogen?
Yeah, you would use Novadex for that. Okay. But really, most of the guys that battle with that, it's because they're taking so much testosterone. And that's, you see a lot of these, and now everyone's unique, just totally unique.
Yeah,
so,
everybody.
Let me backpedal a little bit before everyone goes like, that's not true. I mean, I take this much. Well, everyone's different, but you know, you could be super sensitive to gynecomastia, and then you could be somebody who's not, you know, and you could handle three times a dose. But typically the guys that I know from competing with my peers, the ones that battle with side effects were they were just stacking so much stuff with no rhyme or reason or understanding what they were doing. I mean, in the competitive world, you know, I found it really crazy how everybody, that's what everybody wants to talk about. Like you meet a guy, you never met him before, and everyone looks great backstage. And it's like, it's not what's your workout routine, what's your diet? It's like, oh, what are you running? You know?
Yeah. What do you call it? Gear?
Yeah. What gear?
What's your gear?
Yeah. What's your gear? What are you on? You know? And it's like, really? Like,
I just do the intranasal light therapy, bro.
I would love to say that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it turned into more about that. And then when I started hearing how much these guys in the men's physique, there's guys on the Olympia stage that are natural. So there's some guys with good genetics and could make it all the way to the professional level and actually look at that. It's a very small percentage. But
natural meaning their great grandparents were like Viking kings.
Yeah, more or less.
Super genetic.
There is, exactly.
A little bit of a lottery.
And there, it is, definitely, right? We know that when it comes to competing stuff like that, there's very much so a genetic component. Most all the guys at the high level are not only genetic freaks, but then on top of that, they're synthetic freaks at the same time too. But at the men's physique level, I mean, it's more about symmetry and conditioning and stuff. And so it's crazy how out of control, though, the steroid use is because it's just bleeding in from the bodybuilding world. Oh, you take this. Oh, take this now. And then, you got to get ripped. Oh, take this now. And just keep adding more and more and more and more. So I thought that was pretty wild. And I was a kid in my early 20s. I was probably 22 the first time that I experimented with testosterone. And it was the worst thing I ever did because I took a huge stack that some bodybuilder guy told me about. I didn't do enough research on it, and I had huge side effects down the road. So I got gynecomastia from it. I had a huge drop in my sex drive. By the time I was 30 years old, I was testing like below 200.
And in a situation like that in the bodybuilding industry, are you guys getting this from like online pharmacies, or do you just like find doctors who prescribe it?
Wow. Well, when I was young, when I first experimented in my early 20s, it was we would go over to Mexico and get it, or it was, believe it or not, the stuff that you could get back then was more legit than what it's out there now. Now it's become so huge that everybody is making shit in their bathtub and making their own label and trying. Mm-hmm. And I remember that transition. And it was right around like 27 years old or so when I remember looking for testosterone out there and all the stuff that people were sending me. I'm like, no, this is not, because I used to have the anabolic Bible that you could go through and like, okay, that's not real or that's fake. And
oh wow,
most everything that's on the market now, probably a good 80% of it is made at home from somebody. It's hard to find.
The stuff like, that was being
pharmaceutical
done,
type.
Yeah, grade. The stuff that was being done when we were in our 20s was predominantly Mexican veterinary steroids, which wasn't the greatest either. It wasn't pharmaceutical grade, you know, FDA approved.
Yeah. If I want to get swole, I want the stuff they give the horses in Tijuana.
Let's be honest.
The bottles would have pictures of like pigs and cows.
Yeah, equipoise would have
those donkey shows. So everything. Right.
But now what they do is they buy bulk powder testosterone from China. And then they mix it themselves and put it in oil themselves, and then they sell it. So you have all these underground labs. And it's really that's probably the biggest risk you take with taking anabolic steroids nowadays, is that you're getting some black market shit that's probably could be tainted, probably not accurate.
Yeah, I doubt the guy's using a clean room.
Yeah, but China's really good at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we got the skinny from you, Adam, on your giant eggs for breakfast. The avocado trees people are chopping down.
Yeah, that is just the weekend. I've given that as a strategy to a lot of clients. I think it works really well for a lot of my people. But when on a weekend when you know you're not gonna be active, is having just a high fat. Obviously, that's a lot. I'm a big guy. I'm 200. I'm almost 230.
I'll still out eat you at sushi tonight.
All right, it's on, bro.
Challenge.
Yeah. Wow, did that just happen?
The gauntlet's been thrown.
So good. Yes.
If I do more THC than you do, I will out eat you at sushi tonight.
I'll referee this.
It's kind of funny because these guys just rolled in from California, and obviously here in Washington, the dispensaries are just a dime a dozen everywhere. Yeah. So you guys. Were you privy to some of the high quality Washington
Well, extracts. You know, in California, it's been medicinally legal forever. Yeah, and so we've got some incredible, you know, marijuana there. It's just weird to walk into a place and have it look so commercial.
Yeah.
Like the labels and everything. It looks like.
Oh, it's like a candy store here when you walk in any of these
it's pretty cool.
Shops.
It's very fascinating for me. I started two of the first cannabis clubs in the Bay Area. So I was a part of the very first wave that came through before they were pretty much anywhere. And it was very, very underground when we first started. It was very, very sketch. I was also a part of the first company, Steep Hill, that did all the testing for all these facilities. So they were the first ones to really start to, you know, make you test and then give you back, okay, there's nothing in here, or there's they could tell you if it was organic or if they used any supplements for the plant. You could tell the THC levels, CBD levels, all that stuff. Now, the thing that I think is kind of funny is, though, and we were talking about this last night because I got this, I think I have it with me. I do have it with me. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know, all the years that I grew and all the years that I've been through around testing. And so that,
what is that?
This is actually
it's a joint.
It's a pre-roll.
Oh, okay.
It's a pre-roll from your local dispensary here. And the breakdown on here is crazy. It's 25.14% THC.
You couldn't find that not that long ago. That's a very high amount.
That's really, really high. So when I was growing if we were getting between 17 to 21 percent THC, we were pretty much the super top shelf guys that we were producing.
And what'd you say that one was? 24?
25.
Yeah.
They've done a good job at pushing these plants to produce. I mean, because they grow them indoors, they pump in nitrogen, they make the room cold at the right time, they add the right nutrients, and they squeeze out like ridiculous levels of THC, which
nitrogen, we call it carbon dioxide.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's not it's not nitro-infused coffee.
I'm fascinated with what they're pushing out of these, you know, what they're getting out of the plant. You know,
two days ago, I made edibles up here in my kitchen. I have one of these magical butter machines. Have you seen this? It's like an immersion blender.
I watched
like
the video
8 hours on your kitchen counter. Yeah, so I broke open 40 of the CBD capsules that company makes. And it's like turmeric and ashwagandha and lemon balm. Very, very kind of sleepy time. But then I blended that with ghee, coconut oil, a little bit of dark cacao powder, some stevia, an entire bag of reishi spores. And if you haven't had reishi before, it's like one of the most relaxing medicinal mushrooms that you can get. And then what else did I put in there? A little bit of sea salt. And then I decarboxylated some of this like high strain THC, like this stuff that you just took out. So I cook it in the oven for about 40 minutes, grind that and put that in there. And that all gets blended together. And you melt one of those in your mouth. And about an hour later, you're just like deep into a lucid dream.
Oh, wow.
Just dead to the world. And I've met, you know, I track all my sleep cycles and every, like, I should show you this, my sleep. I took one last night. I should show you my sleep graph from last night, but it's like every single congratulatory note that you can get from the Aura app, which is this, this ring that I wear. I mean,
wow. So it really took your sleep to the next level.
REM sleep through the roof, deep sleep through the roof, sleep latency through the roof, sleep timing, just everything like rock solid.
That's awesome.
You know, compared to like taking like an antihistamine or something like
that. Now, let me ask you this. How often would you do something like this to optimize sleep? Is this something you would do regularly?
I was so excited about you guys coming over. I just had to shut off my brain. No, I'll usually do something like that after a really, really busy day at work where I would have a hard time shutting off my brain.
So it's scheduled or you use it as a way to improve recovery?
I would take something like that 2 to 3 times a week. And again, I mean, it's got a lot of really good stuff in it.
Now, how do you feel when you wake up? Do you feel groggy at all, or do you feel
freaking amazing?
Amazing,
yeah, wow. Amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, yeah.
I want to try. All
right. Now. Yeah. Well,
where did you get the butter? I saw the little butter machine.
I've got some little Miron. You guys ever use Miron glass jars? I order all my spices and herbs in these Miron glass jars, or keep them in these Miron glass jars, which eliminates like UVA and UVB from coming through. And it also eliminates any plastic degradation, et cetera. A lot of times you'll get like high quality supplements or high quality powders and herbs. They come in these, they're like a dark blackish purple jar. And the technical name for that in the industry is Miron glass. So I'll keep it
fresh longer.
I'll grab a couple of those upstairs before you guys leave and I'll put them in a Miron glass jar. You guys can pop them tonight after sushi or whatever.
That would be awesome.
Man.
Miss your plane.
It's going to get even weirder.
Yeah.
I get laughed at maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LilaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
All right, so Sal, what's your go-to meal?
You know,
not that Adam's rabbit hole at all.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of room, man. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, one of the meals that I'll eat that'll just make me feel amazing. And I have, you know, I have a tendency towards having gut issues. So a lot of the things that I'll eat are things that I find that really improve my gut health or make my gut feel good. Mm. And as you already know, the gut is such an integral part of our brain function, our moods and everything. So when I put this particular meal together and eat it, I just notice I feel fantastic and I feel very good for a couple days even in a row. And so it starts off with a very, very large serving of very well-cooked rapini or broccoli rabi, which is a type rapini. Yeah, in Italian we call them rapini, but it's R-A-B-E.
Oh, that's right. You're Italian.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I'm handsome. R-A-B-E is what you would look up, rabe. Okay. And it's a type of broccoli, but they're very leafy. So it's almost like it looks like a cross between either spinach and kale and broccoli. And what I'll do is I'll boil those and cook them really well because I eat a tremendous amount of them. So I wouldn't be able to digest them if I didn't cook them so well. So I make myself a massive plate of that. And
it's from the broccoli family?
It's from the broccoli family. Hmm. And I cover it in olive oil. So I got a nice plate of rapini with olive oil. Then I'll have some sardines, which I absolutely love. I love for their omega-3 fatty acids. Very easy to digest. And then I'll have an avocado. And that is literally my go-to meal. So it's a very high fat. The protein isn't even that high. It's about 20 grams of protein. But after I eat that, man, I feel absolutely incredible.
Do you know much about sulforaphane?
Sulforaphane?
Sulforaphane. As a compound that you'll find in like, well, my wife does broccoli sprouts now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, Rhonda Patrick talks a lot about them.
Well, I went to Finland with Dr. Rhonda, and we spent a lot of time like in the saunas over there. Her and her husband, Dan, and I spoke at a biohacking conference there, and they were just like hot on the sulforaphane research they'd been doing, and they were telling me all about broccoli sprouts and broccoli. Mm-hmm. So I came home, and I bought some Brocco Max by Jarrow Formulas, and then I also bought a bunch of broccoli seeds for sprouting. And we have a whole bunch of broccoli sprouts upstairs, and you can also take the seeds and just blend them.
And they're super easy to grow, apparently, right?
You
can grow
sulforaphane.
Yeah, you can grow sprouts super easy.
Yeah.
And the thing about sulforaphane, so because I cook my rapini and I boil them, I probably destroy a lot of the sulforaphane that's in them naturally. Mm-hmm. You want to eat, if you're looking to maximize your intake of that, you want to eat your vegetables relatively raw.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are
or frozen. Or I didn't realize this, but when you freeze, you concentrate the sulforaphane even more.
You do, as long as the blanching process isn't part of it. So,
right.
What a lot of people don't realize is when you buy frozen vegetables, the standard way that they'll freeze them is they'll blanch them and then freeze them. And when they blanch them, the heat will destroy or degrade a lot of the
sulforaphane. But if you just buy broccoli seeds and freeze them, or make broccoli sprouts and toss them in the freezer.
That's totally different.
That's what Rhonda and Dan told me that they do, and so that's what I said.
Absolutely. And so there are definite benefits to eating your vegetables raw, because you get some of these compounds that are still intact. However, there are also benefits to eating cooked vegetables, and one of them is the sheer volume of vegetables that you can eat when you cook them is so much higher. So I get way more fiber.
Right.
There's still nutrients that are in cooked vegetables. So because I'm eating so much more, I'm still getting a good amount. But I like to eat lots and lots of vegetables, and I just can't handle that many raw vegetables. It just, it'll stomach up. So when I cook these rapini, I mean, if
your colon will adapt. It'll eventually become the size of Jabba the Hutt, and you'll get like colonic distension, and you'll just be able to store it all.
Yeah, no, I don't want a big colon like that.
Turn into a gorilla. You're like this big pouch.
What is the benefit of that?
You're like those really obese people in the jogging pants you sometimes see like walking through the mall where they just have a huge pouch. Yeah. Like you'll have that.
But you know, I don't eat this meal in the day or in the morning. I find I have so much more energy when I'm fasted, or at the most, I'll put some just good old fashioned butter, MCT oil, or coconut oil in my coffee and go with that. If I eat early in the day, I find myself getting sleepier. So really, my go-to meal in the morning is nothing. Like, you just give me some water and I'm fire, man. I feel fantastic. That meal that I had just told you would be something that
actually
I would
sounds
eat.
Really delicious. It remind me, and
you again, like sardines too, right?
I love sardines, and what I do to get more of the DHA absorption, I put them with turmeric. And today for lunch, I'll go upstairs and I'll take out my cast iron skillet and some olive oil or some avocado oil, some of this sea salt, but then I'll put turmeric and black pepper along with the sardines. And I cook those up with what are called shirataki noodles, which is they're a special noodle made from Japanese yam. A lot of insoluble fiber, no carbohydrate, but it's like this pasta sardine dish that I'll serve over vegetables for lunch almost every day.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And the turmeric and the black pepper concentrates the DHA, so you get more DHA.
Well, you're throwing the sardines on the you're cooking.
Oh, yeah, grill them.
Okay, that sounds kind of good.
Not to mention the turmeric. You know, when people take turmeric, they don't realize that it's fat soluble. You need to have a fat with it to absorb it, and the black pepper increases its absorption as well. So when you're eating turmeric, because I know people who will take a ton of turmeric powder and supplements thinking they're going to get the benefits from, you know, the turmeric, the anti-inflammatory effects, the anti-cancer effects, all the cognitive boosting effects. But if you don't take it with a fat, it's not going to be absorbed. It's like a fat soluble vitamin. Think of it that way.
That's one of the reasons that when I mentioned that edible that I made, I blend it with ghee and coconut oil because the turmeric enhances the bioavailability of the cannabinoids. Oh, the other thing I put in there was black pepper because bioperine is the active ingredient that plays well with turmeric when you blend it with things. So
amazing. Well, now, bioperine, if I'm not mistaken, it changes the way the liver metabolizes things,
right?
And it increases the half-life, is it, of whatever you're eating, or keeps it in circulation more?
Well, specifically curcuminoids. It increases the amount of time they spend in the bloodstream.
There you go.
So it doesn't work with all compounds. Like it's kind of like the opposite of grapefruit, right? Where if you have grapefruit juice with a pharmaceutical or a drug, it increases the rate at which it's metabolized. And so sometimes you get a very pronounced effect, which can be dangerous.
In fact,
that reminds me of when Celtec was big and they used to tell you to mix it with the orange juice so it gets into your system really fast.
You
used to be drinking Celtec like crazy.
Well, that's for the sugar effect is what they were doing. But grapefruit has naringine, or am I saying it right? Mm-hmm. There's a compound in grapefruit that actually increases the concentration of certain compounds, caffeine being one of them. This is a little biohack. If you want to increase the effects of caffeine, be very careful. Have it with grapefruit seed extract or grapefruit, and it'll hit you much faster. And I learned this the hard way. I'm sensitive to caffeine. I had taken some grapefruit seed extract because I felt like I was getting a cold. Drank my coffee and it was jittery as hell. It was like
grapefruit
too much.
Seed extract is a good way to do it though, because you're not getting all the fructose and the sugar.
Exactly.
From grape juice.
Exactly.
The other couple of things that come to mind when you say that is that pair well is with cannabinoids. In addition to turmeric and black pepper, mango. Any mango extract? I've read about it.
Have you tried this?
Well, you can get mango flavored, marijuana blends, etc. But I've never actually tried to put like a mango extract into like an edible or eating a mango at the same time that I've say like vaped.
Supposedly makes it feel stronger.
Let's try it tonight.
Oh my God.
That sounds good.
The other one. So you bring the grapefruits, you bring the mangoes.
Okay.
The other one is, anything citric acid based blended with an alkaloid. And so I don't know if you guys are familiar with, or if you've used, not to turn this into a complete drug show, but kratom. You use kratom at all?
I have used kratom,
I just heard they were trying to ban that recently.
Well, you know, here's the thing about kratom. I used it because I heard all this, you know, I love trying new things out. Yeah. I did notice a tolerance building effect, which I always am a little weary of, where I felt like I needed more and more, and I felt like you could, because of that tolerance building effect, there could be some addictive properties, physical addictive properties. But nonetheless, it's one of those substances that I think freaks out the pharmaceutical industry because people are saying that it's a good way to replace opiates.
It acts very similar. And this is how I found it. I hurt my low back and I was down in California, and the guy whose house I was staying at, he's not into painkillers, and it was actually his mom was there, not him, but his mom's even more hippie than he is. All she had around was Kratom. And she said, well, take a teaspoon of this. It'll knock out the pain. So I did. And it not only knocked out the pain, but I had this extreme sense of euphoria. Yes. And so I started to research it, and it comes in different strains, like white strain for wakefulness coffee-like effect during the day, red strain for euphoria and sleep and sexual enhancement at night. And if you make it into a tea and you use a little bit of lemon juice or lime juice in the tea, the citric acid concentrates the alkaloids in the kratom. And so similar to like grapefruit mixed with you know, some kind of a caffeine supplement, or like mango mixed with marijuana. Same thing. You mix citric acid with kratom and you get this double whammy effect.
Interesting.
It's really interesting.
What type of
stuff.
Plant is it? Like, what does it look like?
I get it in powdered form.
Now, where's it native? Is it South America?
Thailand. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So well, really interesting opportunity. Stuff. Mm. Yeah. But, you can order it online. The FDA tried to schedule it as a class 1 substance unsuccessfully. Last year.
It definitely
kind of like CBD.
One caveat, look, it's definitely something you feel, and there's definitely a dangerous amount I think you can take. I don't think it's toxic, but I know some people have had some negative side effects. So it's something that works.
Don't make a hamburger out of it.
Yeah, exactly. What you want to know.
This guy's talking about like a tea.
You took a teaspoon.
Don't take like a pound of it first time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got people like, actually, this is gonna make me high. I'm going
to
take a whole bunch.
When you look at the standard way to take it, because this is how I'll use a lot of, and I get a hard time for this sometimes. Somebody will give me a greens powder or a Chinese adaptogenic herb complex, and I'll just dump it in my mouth, right? Because you get a lot of that mucosal absorption. So I researched kratom, and apparently the go-to way to take it is to either chew on the leaves in your mouth or to just take the powder to put it in your mouth, and then just to get a little sip of water and swish it around in your mouth until all the powder goes away and dissolves. So you don't get the same citric acid effect of making it into a tea.
So we'll throw that to our evening stack we're going to do tonight. So far we have the your butter, THC, turmeric thing. We've got the microdose psilocybin.
Are you sure we're not going to a rave after that?
I don't know. It might feel like a rave.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we're actually just taking my children to sushi. So yes. That's all.
Father of the year.
I'll mention to my wife. We'll be taking an Uber to sushi.
Don't worry, Doug's going to be with us.
We'll keep it on the hush.
He always keeps us under control.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. All right, so Justin, go. And by the way, if you're listening in right now, if you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/mindpump3, mindpump the number 3. I'm going to twist these guys' arms to actually send me each of these recipes that they are describing to you.
Yeah. Oh God, that's
I'll,
cool.
I'll put them in the show notes so you guys can get Adam, Sal, and Justin's go-to.
Mine
recipes.
Will be easy. It's just coffee.
Right. just coffee.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, seriously. What's your go-to meal?
Like, so I mean, for me, it's real simple. So I like to tend to restrict what I'm eating for the most part to get me energy. So if I want to kind of refocus and you know, get one meal where I feel like, okay, I'm optimizing my nutrients and all that, around like 3 o'clock, I'm going to build myself a nice salad that, you know, I'm going to get every color I can possibly get in there, usually from like bell peppers. And that's a good way for me to really diversify. Mm-hmm. And then add in, if I can, I'll add in some eggs and, you know, get in some avocado and make
you
sure
mean,
I get
like
some
scramble eggs and put them on the salad.
No, like hard boiled eggs. I always hard boiled. So here's why. Cause I have chickens, which you have chickens here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got like 6 chickens now. They're finally producing again. So, you know, I almost was this close to sending them, you know, out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you got to get rid of these things.
We almost
We were going to have some chicken sandwiches.
They also said Chick-fil-A real quick.
And I was telling them they were on borderline right there. But, so they started producing again. And it's interesting because each one of them has like a different colored egg.
Wait, why did they stop producing?
Because 2 of them were brooding. And then after that, so we tried to fix the problem by actually getting them eggs that they could sit on and
fake eggs, right?
Yeah,
Cadbury eggs.
No, they weren't even fake.
We put Cadbury eggs.
We have some of those fake eggs. They work.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
So that
you should have heard Adam's advice. Adam's like, you got to go in there and show them who's boss.
Oh my God,
went up a little bit.
That was inappropriate. Yeah, let's be honest. But it was funny.
Chicken raping is one way to get them to
see.
I knew you would go there.
Oh my God! I said it last time.
He's said it on his show. You know what I'm saying?
Like this, this omelet is fantastic. I finally raped a few last night, and they're producing.
That's how you mix the eggs before they come out.
Beautiful yolky eggs.
Yeah. That's horrible.
There you go.
God damn it.
So yeah, they have different colored eggs, which is interesting. I just like to see like what naturally is going on based off of like what they're eating out. I let them free range all over my property. Yeah. So
yeah, natural chicken egg, and it has like a little bit of chicken on the outside of the shell. And that's how you know that it's like a real chicken egg. Right.
Oh, okay.
I actually wash that off. That makes me a little nervous.
I like getting the diversity in my microbiome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll sprinkle some of that poop right
there. So you just basically do eggs with a bunch of salad.
Eggs with a bunch of salad. Yeah. And some chicken or whatever else.
Throw the hot pocket right on
there. Meat. Mm-hmm. Throw in there, like I said, I keep it really simple. So it's a pretty easy recipe for your listeners.
Easy peasy.
To throw together. Yeah.
Easy. Almost boring.
Yeah.
Almost
kind of real like boring. Real boring. Dude, you're asking the wrong guy. You can ask.
I thought you were going to talk about like emulsifying the eggs with a mango.
I don't get on your guys' level with that kind of stuff. So I like to keep it real simple, man.
I am a fan of bell peppers, though. One of those things that you have to buy organic. Because they're notoriously high in pesticides and herbicides, but for vitamin C.
So how do you feel about that with like certain fruits and certain vegetables that have like a harder shell or something that's
like avocados?
Like I honestly don't go out of my way to spend the extra money on the organic avocado or the organic bananas or anything that's got a shell,
right?
Just because I like to fool myself that herbicides and pesticides don't have absolutely no way of creeping through anything. Yeah. Like the human skin that can't absorb shit. Why would a banana skin be able to absorb anything? I do go out of my way to go organic on the strawberry, the dirty dozen.
That's what they call them.
Peaches, etc. Yeah. So a couple other questions I had for you guys. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about supplements, but I think we kind of kicked that horse to death already. So workouts. Yeah. You guys are obviously on the road right now, traveling. We're going to go tackle the Laser Quest Castle tonight. So you'll get your 20,000 steps in. But do you guys have go-to travel workouts that you do, like you, Adam, when you're out and about to keep yourself shredded?
We created a program called Maps Anywhere, which is specifically for that. But if I'm being completely honest, it really depends on what I'm currently focused on right now. So, and I don't know how you guys are and how you guys train, but for me, like, I like to become like hyper focused on a specific goal. It's why the whole bodybuilding competing thing was super entertaining and fun for me, but then I was over it once I kind of made my way to the professional level. Then I was like, okay, I did that. Now I'm on to something else. And right now I've been addressing a lot of my lack of mobility. So during all that hypertrophy training and meathead type of lifting, I really didn't realize how bad of a position I had put my body in until I started to try and do some, mobile type move.
I'm sure 150 pounds of dual compression on each leg right now is really helping with the mobility.
I feel stiff as right now laying in these, or standing in these things. Yeah,
so do I.
What I'll do on a trip right now with like seeing you, we're here just for a couple of days. So, I got a really heavy session in of squats, deads, overhead, my basic big compound movements. Before, because I know I'm probably not going to get that while I'm here. But then when I'm here, I'll work on a lot of my mobility stuff. So, I'll pull some of our moves from Maps Prime and some of our moves from Maps Anywhere, and I'll combine that. Which Maps Anywhere is a lot of body weight type stuff. So I just played with that for the first
days before.
Just used one the other day.
This is a vibrating massage ball.
Yes,
check this out. Since we've already got the sound of the pump in the background, this should.
Whoa!
So this guy. I'll work on this. You know where this works. I mean, you could put it anywhere, like on the outside of the hips or whatever. But have you guys ever done work on the psoas, like laid down on a ball?
That's gnarly.
This works amazingly.
That's gnarly.
Plus, you'll poop like a baby.
Right on my piriformis.
Last week,
this thing called the hypersphere? It's a vibrating ball for deep tissue work.
I actually just laid on that exact tool last week for the first time. One of our athletes, Mike Salimi, he's a kettlebell sport pro. He had it. He brought it with him, and I was like, "Let me check this thing out." That's the first place he told me to put it too. Put it right there on your cell. Check that out.
What do you mean, one of your athletes?
So we sponsor a kettlebell sport. Are you familiar with kettlebell sport yet?
I'm the world champion.
You are.
So that can't be true.
I think Mike will challenge you.
He was the first athlete, and we wanted to sponsor somebody different. Like we didn't want to go. We wanted to do a sport that. We were really interested in that. I think is kind of underground a little bit right now. And kettlebell sport, a lot of people aren't familiar. We weren't familiar with it until we got tied up with Kettlebell Kings and into that community. And then we kind of found out it's kind of like CrossFit for kettlebells. It's that same type of mentality.
You mean like there's actual workouts and actual defined
competitions? Well, the events, like you'll do, you know.
It's like clean, long cycle snatches and stuff like that.
The Russians have been competing forever in kettlebell type sports. And kettlebell sport is a little bit different with the rules and the way they put things together. But it's going to be pretty big.
You like it. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. So you'll go to an event and it'll be like, you're going to do this exercise with the kettlebell and see who can do the most reps in X amount of time.
So there's weight classes. So if you weigh X amount of pounds, then you get a 70-pound kettlebell. This guy gets a 80-pound kettlebell. This person gets a 50-pound kettlebell. And then it's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Who can get the most
out? Do they have kettlebell preacher curls? I could totally dominate that.
What I feel like
oh,
I can.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at this on your phone. Kettlebell, also known as Jivaroy sport, a power endurance feat of cyclical nature. Wow. Lifter success involves proper breathing patterns, aerobic capacity, stability, mental focus.
This is seriously right up your alley.
No, you would.
In fact, we're going to be hosting.
It's a big community.
We're hosting a competition. Yeah,
you should come down for that. That'd be a good time for you to come.
And anybody can come. You don't have to be in the sport. And they're going to have an event that has nothing to do with kettlebells. And we're going to surprise people. It'd be great to have Ben host it with us.
I think Ben would.
You would kill it.
Because
it's a very endurance like. You have to have serious mental fortitude to be able to compete.
As you guys know, after walking my front door, I have a yoga swing. There's no way I can't rule a kettlebell competition.
Automatically qualifies.
It's a yoga trapeze. They keep telling me that.
I thought it was a
The company that said to me, like, quit calling it a yoga swing. It's a yoga trapeze.
Yeah, you would like
turns you into a beast.
You would like our buddy Mike Salemi, man. He's a very, very important. What does he weigh? About 150, 160 pounds?
I mean, you want to talk about strength to weight ratio that will blow your mind. This guy's all natural. Always been natural.
Superhero.
Very, very into gut health, mobility. I'm just very well balanced, very intelligent gentleman.
He's got all the L-dos. He's got all the check.
I'll link to it. Does he have like a webpage or something? Because I'll link to it in the show notes.
Kettlebell lifestyle.
Okay.
That's his Instagram page?
Yeah, that's his Instagram page. And then you can find him through us because he is now an official athlete of ours and we've had him on the show. We just had an episode with him recently on there. They'll see his name up there.
Shot quite a few YouTubes.
It sounds to me like what you do, Adam, is you crush it when you're at home, and then when you hit the road, you do a lot of mobility work, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I like that. That's a good approach. How about you, Sal?
So I just got back from a long trip in Thailand, which, by the way, Thailand is probably one of the most amazing places I've ever been to.
Yeah. I love Thailand.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I used to go there every year.
Really? So we were
used to compete over there. They have the best triathlon in the world in
Thailand. It is amazing. Yeah. It is like you've never seen. I was just telling these guys, we were at Koh Phi Phi. And some of the resorts over there, and then we went to some of the islands with the high speed boats. It's incredible.
You go to Rylai Bay.
Yeah. Oh, gorgeous.
Rylai Bay is my favorite place on earth.
Gorgeous.
I go there and hire a rock climber, like a rock climber and guide, and get a rock climbing guide for like $5 a day. Stay in a beach bungalow for like $10 a night.
Yep.
And you basically eat barbecued swordfish and corn on the cob on the beach.
Yep.
Oh, that's rad. That sounds awesome.
And they rock climb these massive boulders that are in the ocean.
Yeah, they're these huge like limestone karsts.
If you fall, you drop in the ocean?
And they have a tacky surface, so it's like you're Spider-Man. A ton of bolted roots. I mean, and there's no cars, though. You can only get there by boat. I don't want to be talking about too much on the podcast.
You don't want too many people there.
Because it's just like a bunch of half-naked college students and a lot of hairy armpits.
Yikes. But it was amazing. But anyway, while I was there, and this is what I like to do when I go on trips, is I like to do body weight type work. So like Maps Anywhere will highlight kind of how we do that, where we put together foundational type workouts and then do these what are called AM sessions if I want to bring up the intensity. But another thing I like to do...
And Maps is just your guys' special name that you give to any of these workout programs that you create and sell online.
Yeah, so we have... they're different targets.
Why don't you tell me the acronym?
MAPS stands for Muscular Adaptation Programming System. Us being trainers and having taken that approach with exercise, we understand the importance of exercise programming, how to program a routine. People don't... they don't give any credence to that anymore. It's just a bunch of, you work your biceps, you work your chest. These are the exercises.
Or they're all very intense driven, right? That's typically what you see now is that, the workouts that a lot of people sell online is just like, who can put the most crazy workout together that
make
crush
you the sorest? We understand adaptation. So our programs are designed around different types of adaptations. Maps Anywhere is the one that we do that doesn't require any equipment. But the other thing that I like to do is I like to improve my control in new ranges of motion. So what I'll do, let's say I'm somewhere for 10 days, is I'll dedicate 2 or 3 days to static stretching to gain new ranges of motion. Then I'll dedicate 1 or 2 days of activating the muscles while I'm in a static stretch. So at first, let's say I'm doing the splits, and right. I'm relaxing in the splits so I can get range of motion. I do that for a couple days. So now I've got new range of motion. Then the following couple days, I'll get in that new range of motion, and then I'll do sets where I'm tensing the muscles I'm stretching and then tensing the opposing muscles and going back and forth. And all I'm trying to do is get connection within that new range of motion. And then the final days that I'm there is I'll do exercises where I'm actually moving within the new ranges of motion so I can get some control. Then when I come back home and I lift weights, I'm training within new ranges of motion. I lighten my load and I start to build it back up.
This is called MAPS Anywhere?
MAPS Anywhere utilizes some of the exercises in AMP sessions, what we call AMP sessions, which are intensity-based workouts that help you scale up the intensity that you would do with workouts without any equipment. So very effective.
Let's check it out. You guys gave me access to the back end of your of the website where I can download these.
You can have any of them.
I'm about to take off in like a week for about 2 weeks of travel. So if I download that, it'll walk me through exactly what you just described.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Maps Anywhere you would like that.
And Maps
I think
Prime
would blow
Prime
your mind.
Prime would be good.
Prime would blow your mind.
What's Prime?
So Prime is the newest. That's our probably our most ambitious creative program that we've completed today. It is the program that we created. I don't think there's anything out there that tries to address these particular issues. One of them being, how do you prime the body properly before you work out? Because we understand that priming your body properly will make a tremendous difference in terms of the type of signal you send while you're working out. Will make a difference in terms of muscle recruitment patterns, getting the proper recruitment patterns. In terms of recovery. And people treat what you do before your workout as just a warm-up. They think, oh, I'm going to warm up and prevent injury. But what they don't realize is preventing injury is the absolute least that what you do before your workout should do. What you can really do with when you prime your workout is you can make your current workout much, much more effective. The problem we encountered was, how do you individualize that? Because that's one of the keys with priming is the way you would prime. Let's say you have forward shoulder. Let's say you have upper cross syndrome. And I have, let's say my problem is I have, I'm hip flexor dominant and I have anterior pelvic tilt. We're going to prime differently for the same exact workout because right. you're going to try and encourage a certain type of recruitment mm-hmm. pattern. And I'm going to try and encourage a different kind of recruitment pattern. Or let's say you're going to go and do an event that requires lots of explosive power. Yeah. There's going to be a different way you prime than if you're going to go and do something that requires more control. Or if my central nervous system tends to be overactive, and I hate to use that term because that's not really accurate, but let's say I tend to be real tight and tense, and athletes listening right now can relate. If you're tight and tense before an event, you tend to be exhausted very early. Well, priming will help optimize your central nervous system. Now, on the flip side, let's say you're too loose and you need to get amped because you're about to go powerlift or you're about to throw a spear, you need something explosive. Priming properly will improve your central nervous system to give you more power. And we included in MAPS Prime, this is the part that we had to really invent, was something we called the compass, which takes you through different movements, helps you grade yourself, and then it directs you to design your own
priming session.
Which you
were only able to find, previously in, other things like FMS and these functional movement type screening, where you'd have to kind of go through a whole course to get there. We wanted to be able to teach people at more of a surface level, like here's how,
this
you need
anybody
to understand.
Can do this.
Yeah,
you know what though?
Understand your body better.
Shit. I just wear one of these. So this basically,
how do you like the halo?
This deadens your motor cortex. No, it's I recently podcasted with you. It's a halo.
Now this is what I want to try.
Transdirect cranial stimulation.
I want to try that.
Any workout you do after this feels effortless. You wear this thing and it stimulates
you
your motor cortex skill acquisition, so you can use it before you do
the Warriors.
Ukulele practice Golden State Warriors used it.
Process.
You wear it for 20 minutes and then you're primed for the next 60 minutes for your workout. So
you're priming your brain,
and all it does is it activates the motor cortex.
See, here's what I would like to do:
anything motor skill related,
combine that.
I would like to try something like this that primes the brain. With our program, which is really a body priming type program.
You prime while you're priming.
We put the prime in primal.
There's a man standing outside my office with a shovel. Should we just keep going?
Do we know who he is?
Yeah, I have no clue who he is, but we'll just let him do his thing.
He's working, though. So that's,
he looks like he's working. Yeah. He works for the government.
So you got employees working around your house you don't even know?
So I want to be able to give Justin a chance to squeeze in his workout, his go-to workout.
Yeah, no, it's a...
Hopefully it's more exciting than your salad.
I was just going to say, yeah. I know, dude. Where I lack in nutritional,
put an egg on a bell pepper. Yeah. And
I go to the Himalayas and I get some like very specific, you know, berry, and I like smash it, and then I do all these very, you know, I get some cinnamon, and I'm not that specific, bro.
I do that, too. It's called the
that's Himalayan. You know, some people have to live, what I do, and it's very similar to what Adam was kind of describing, as far as if I try to plan for traveling, what do I do with my workouts, is I want to get a good solid workout in. A foundational type workout is what we kind of call them. So whether that's with barbells or kettlebells, I'm going to make sure and get, you know, these compound lifts in and really exhaust my body. And then when I get into, you know, a situation in like the hotel or something where I'm limited on, different types of tools that I can access. So, what I'll do is,
what do you mean all hotels have an elliptical trainer?
Exactly.
Dude, all they have is like these treadmills. That's about all you got. So, so what I like to do is more isometrics, isokinetic type exercises where, you know, I'm holding certain positions for long, and I'm, you know, I'm ramping up my tension of my entire body and learning, new ranges of motion. So really it's expressing range of motion, but now adding tension to that. So I want to build my strength, which, you know, we talk about mobility, but I take it a little bit step further where I'm really increasing my tension.
I'll tell you what.
I knew he wouldn't mention this.
Adam's showing me a video right now. I'll link to this in the show notes. You just like throwing these big ass clubs around.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm more interesting working out wise than I am nutrition. So I'm totally into mace bell swings. I'm totally into Indian club swinging. Lots of rotational work there that I can apply with, you know, get some good tension there and response out of, you know, the retraction depression of my shoulder blades, you know, the wrist rotation, elbow rotation. So all these movements that you want to make sure that
those are huge too.
You know, if you don't,
these clubs, I got to embed this video in the show note because dude, you're not doing it justice. These clubs that you're swinging around are freaking huge.
This is why I had to tell you, because this Justin, just so you know, he's terrible about talking about himself.
Yeah.
So just if you haven't put that together yet, he's horrible.
How's that stick with like a built-in computer going that you're
designing? Man. Yeah. Well, so we're excited. Yeah. That's my, my invention that,
what's it called again?
It's called the Axon.
The Axon. Yeah, I remember we talked about that in the last podcast, and so I'll link to that podcast in the notes, but it's like a stick that measures muscle tension, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and you can see it lights up with the LED. This is the prototype.
Yeah, so I'll
have to show you guys listening in. I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well. That's sick.
Yeah, so that's the prototype. That's the second prototype. What it actually looks like, I posted some pictures of that as well. But it's going to be made out of bamboo, and it's going to look
like
really
straddling
slick.
A giant lit up dick is what it looks like, actually.
Well, if that's what you see, what you see.
Yeah,
you
know? mind
some
pump,
people think it's a stick.
Mind pump Justin on Instagram. Okay, cool. I'm going to link to this. That's really cool.
That's
rad. You can use this to basically create a bunch of muscle tension, but then at the same time, the light tells you how much tension you're creating.
Yeah, exactly. Guided. It's guided. So think of if you're a coach even, right? So I want to be able to prescribe a specific exercise and program entirely. They're going to be able to send that to their athletes, and then they're going to be able to download that eventually. Where
it actually collects the tension,
tells you your max output, all that stuff.
Oh wow, quantum! Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, it quantifies it right here.
I can't wait till this comes out.
Yeah,
that's going to be sick.
I'm definitely going to hook you up with one and have you play with it and give me feedback and stuff. So I'm excited about.
Only
that.
Us would get excited about giant sticks with lights on them that measure muscle tension. Yeah. No, it actually is
Disney
cool.
Disney, call me, because it definitely could be a lightsaber.
All right, I got a rapid fire question for you guys to finish up here. You have the Mind Pump podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a lot of people on there, aside from just me. Surprisingly, you've actually interviewed other people.
We have
a lot of cool interviews that you guys do.
No, a lot.
So so with all these people that you've interviewed, if you could tell me one piece of enchanting, intriguing, or interesting advice that was like your highlight for the past year of people that you've interviewed, what would be like your top go to? And you can't say sticking the thing up your nose that I showed.
No. Right away comes to mind. Probably one of my favorite was Stephen Kotler.
I just interviewed him. Have you read his new book about?
I just finished Rise of Superman.
No,
I have Reaching Fire. I have Stealing Fire's next.
Stealing Fire about like Burning Man and the CIA and
so
the FBI.
I have it, and I started to open that, but then I was so excited about him and his story after we interviewed him that I was like, okay, I got to go back and read his first great book. So I started back and I've read Rise of Superman, fell in love with it. He was an awesome interview, so he was just a fun guy to be around. I'm super fascinated with flow. I'm a snowboarder. I wakeboard. I do all this stuff. So I was, extreme sports was like my childhood. I grew up around that. I love that. I was the one who wanted to snowboard really bad with you while we were up here because that's my thing for sure.
Oh, me too. There's a bunch of powder on the mountain. We're 20 minutes away from the base right now.
You have no idea. When you said that, I was like, you have no idea how bad
I'm
going to do. He's so unathletic, though, man.
Too bad you brought the California kids with you.
Yeah, I know. So, Stephen Kotler.
I was down.
I mean, it's hard because I feel like I'm not giving justice to some of our great guests. You know, like Dr. Brett McCabe was awesome, sports psychologist. But, Kotler really, for me, where I'm at currently, like, I just happen to be, you know, and you actually inspired some of this. Last time I seen you with the, I'm trying to like turn off all my electronics by 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm going from all my lights in my house to candlelight. I'm starting to try and meditate more at night. I'm working on my breathing. A lot of these things I'm trying to
become a monk.
Well, no, here's what I was trying to do. Honest truth. I smoke weed every single night and I don't want to become dependent on that as the main thing that settles my brain down, which the truth be told, it does.
I actually have a computer right there that's hooked up to neurofeedback equipment that lets you reset your tolerance to weed.
Oh no. Shit.
Don't tell him that. I have a full neurofeedback protocol that completely resets your tolerance.
Oh, he doesn't need help with
weed. I might have to spend an extra couple
seriously,
days.
No, seriously. I do it once a week.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to
It keeps you as a cheap date.
See, I want to just met. So
great.
Because of that, I was like, you know what? Like, as much as I'm pro cannabis and everything, I don't want to become dependent on it as it's my main source of what gives me all this relief and settles me down. And so I've been working on all these things to intrinsically do that. And so Stephen Kotler's episode just totally hit home for me. Right away, I got his book and both my girl and I both went through it together. And I'm getting ready to do his newest one that I actually don't even think that's released yet. I believe people can't even buy that. So
Stealing Fire.
Yeah, I think it comes out the 24th of this month. So
it's back behind me.
I see it. Yeah.
How did you get one early?
So he's he interviewed him, right? You said you interviewed him.
I threatened him.
I bought
a hitman on the dark web.
How did you like the interview?
I loved it.
I thought
I interviewed
awesome.
him and Jamie Will.
Oh yeah,
fantastic book, fantastic
right.
Interview. All right, so Stephen Kotler.
Nice.
I'll link to that book for those of you who want to pre-order it on Amazon. I'll put it in the show notes. How about you, Sal?
They've all been pretty interesting. But two of my favorites were Dr. Terry Walls, who created the Walls protocol, and cured her own MS and. Talks a lot about how, you know, she progressed from taking certain nutrients that would help her to eating a paleo type diet to then creating her own protocol to include foods that were very, very nutrient dense.
I'm sure her eyes popped out her head when Adam said he was eating 400 grams of carbohydrates per day.
Well, this was actually after. Like, we were at that point,
max, you're going to die.
But, you know, one thing that she said that really struck home was that, you know, she said she was giving us advice on how many vegetables we should be eating a day.
Mm.
And it was, I thought I was eating a lot of vegetables. Until I heard her talk about why we needed to eat, you know, like three massive dinner plates day or four or something like that.
Seriously, her colon must be huge.
It must be. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We can ask her. Yeah. But I started eating.
Let's not.
I started making vegetables a much bigger part of my diet where in the past, I didn't consider a meal unless it had some kind of protein in it. You know what I mean? Like if I just ate a bunch of vegetables, it wasn't considered a meal. Whereas now I have entire meals that are all vegetables.
I think we all did, right? That's the neatest part about having great, like really intelligent.
You could take something away from
great,
me.
Yeah. You know, right away when you get like these doctors or great authors and it's like, man, you know what? Let me play with that and start to incorporate that into my
honestly,
life.
Honestly, for me being a podcaster for the past 10 years, almost my entire life from a health and a fitness and a nutrition standpoint has evolved from podcast guests.
Yeah.
Yep. It was like, oh, that's cool. I'll try that. Or
I totally,
I never would have heard
makes
that.
Sense.
And
this
then you see what works.
That's why I thought it was a great.
It's an awesome job. I get to talk to super smart people, except you guys every two days a week. Yeah. Like these people who I'd normally have to like probably pay $500 to $1,000 or more an hour to even be able to get on the phone with them. I can just sit there on the microphone with them.
And it's absolutely awesome. So,
it's crazy.
So Dr. Terry Walls really influenced me to eat more vegetables, larger servings. I saw tremendous benefit from that in both energy, health, my skin, sleep. I mean, everything. It just felt so much better. And that's what I do now. And then Zach Bitter, who's the American world record holder in the 100-mile race. And he's a keto athlete. And, you know, I from an athletic standpoint, a ketogenic diet – is it going to benefit you? Maybe if you're an ultra endurance type athlete, and he really confirmed that. And he talked about how during these long races, he used to have to constantly feed himself with hundreds of grams of carbohydrates. Whereas when he's keto and he's doing these runs, small doses of carbohydrates, and they get utilized much more effectively. He doesn't have to carry as much stuff with him. He doesn't have to fill up his stomach with as much, you know, sugar or whatever to keep himself fueled. And his body's so hypersensitive to these carbohydrates that they get utilized very well. And that's how his performance went to the next level. He also talked about how his inflammation went way down. So I thought that was fascinating how you could, if you're an athlete and you use a ketogenic type diet, but you want to maximize performance, how you can utilize or take advantage of, I should say, that insulin sensitizing effect, throw the carbs in when you're ready to perform, and you get, you know, better performance.
Exactly. That's what a lot of ketogenic athletes don't emphasize, is the fact that ketosis isn't necessarily a performance. It's a definite longevity and health aid, but it's not a performance aid unless you take advantage of that maximized insulin sensitivity and you have those periods of time where you use sugar as a sometimes drug, right? Where you're like, okay, I've been in ketosis for 6 months. Now I'm going to go out and do my 100-mile race and just like eat a shit ton of sweet potatoes right before that. And then you're like, God.
Yeah.
Right. So,
and then you get a, it's a noticeable boost in performance. Right.
So Zach Bitter, and I'm going to link to all these. So Terry Walls, Zach Bitter, Stephen Kotler, I'll link to all the episodes that you guys did with these folks. How about you, Justin?
I like Dr. Brett McCabe. Yeah. He was very, it was refreshing because me and Adam always like to talk about sports and like, cause we spend a lot of time growing up. You know, I played on three different sports, baseball, basketball, football, and just to hear that type of mind from a coach and how he motivates people. And, it was just refreshing to hear. It reminded me a lot of like some of my real influential, impactful coaches that I've experienced.
What does he coach?
So
he's a sports
psychologist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he like works on the athlete.
He specializes in baseball is where his most of his
in golf
down there in San Jose.
He's in the PGA.
No. He's where are we flying him from?
I don't remember.
Doug, do you know where?
I don't remember.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Should ask the assistant this one.
South someplace, right? Is he in Florida?
We're flying him from somewhere. I don't know.
He's
coming in though. He's coming in the studio and he's he was a great, great guest. Like just like Justin said, Justin and I don't get a chance to talk about sports very often because of, you know, science nerd over here.
Can
we go outside and throw a football after so we can all laugh at you?
Let's do it. Video it.
Is that the one you kick? Here, catch.
It's like the kid in what's that show Michael Cera was in where every time his dad would throw him a football, he'd just like curl up in the corner and shield himself.
Yeah. I'm not scared of a football. In fact, we actually played played a basketball game.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, God.
That's okay. No, it's okay. We have it on film. It's actually recorded. You can go on our YouTube.
It's all right.
It's on our YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV on YouTube.
So me and Adam got this huge
we
pump.
We played horse.
Our arms were really tight.
We played horse and I won. So it's just one of those things.
You should have seen his shot.
It's on record.
My kids and I play pig right out here in the hallway behind you where all the carpet is torn up because we just had a flood last night.
Oh,
so we're all going to die of mold, by the way. I know. If you guys were Dave Asprey, you wouldn't have even ventured down here. And all the blue cheese in the refrigerator.
Right.
But we set up a target at the end of the hallway and have bow shooting competitions indoors where we'll play pig and horse with the bows.
Oh, awesome. So,
it's fun.
McCabe was cool. He was a pitcher for LSU. So he was part of the World Series. College World Series team.
Nice.
And he goes into like this whole story with the dynamic between him and his coach and the mental warfare that he had of like getting out on the mound and going out there to save a game and stuff. So he gets into all that. It's pretty cool.
How his coach really was able to challenge him, you know, and like really tell him what he needed to hear, you know, that got him into the point where he could reach a lot of like what they're talking about with flow with.
We had them back to back. I think we had Brett McCabe first and then we had Kotler right after that. It was like such a great back-to-back episodes to interview someone like that. First you get into the sports psychology side of it, then you dive into like the whole flow, and it was great. It was great to have those two guys back-to-back.
Well, I'll put these if you're listening in, bengreenfieldfitness.com/mindpump3. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/mindpump, the number 3. Fellas, we got a date tonight at the biggest laser tag castle in North America. We've got a lot of different things to experiment with beforehand. Some excellent sushi afterwards. We've got sea salt, wine, and dark chocolate spread out here on the table. Plenty of goodies to go around. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
Dude, always fun. Always.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.